This week on The Droids, we talk about the Obi-Wan series. Ewan McGregor was holding out on us this whole time, and more reactions to the Episode 9 trailer. Plus, we'll get into our most obscure Star Wars characters, the favorites from all four of the droids, as we have our 100th episode.
Hello and welcome into The Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast, a brand new Star Wars podcast. This is the inaugural edition. I am Mike alongside Chris. Chris, we are
Welcome back to The Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Alongside Chris, Ryan, and Sam, I am Mike, and all live and in person for our 100th episode of The Droids. Great to be here and a chance to get together and celebrate what has become the seminal podcast in the history of Star Wars.
Hello, boys, and I also want to say hello, New York City! Thank you. We are live from Brooklyn.
Yeah, baby.
Are we at a Brooklyn park right now?
Yeah,
we're at a Brooklyn park.
There's a lot of children in that audience.
We found out a lot about our demographics.
Yeah.
But we're happy to have them, and
Wow.
But they're not happy to be here.
We're holding them hostage. Guys, it's a real pleasure and an honor and a privilege.
Anytime we get in person, I feel like the show, we get so many great things that we talk about.
Who knew? I didn't know. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for being here. Like, what were you saying?
I was just going to say, you know, this is just a real pleasure. We have a chance to look each other in the eye and say, don't talk over me.
Right.
Yeah, here we
that
are.
Hasn't happened before. Yeah,
sorry, I was looking at my phone.
This might be our cleanest episode yet.
I doubt it will be.
Time will still tell. Plenty of room.
Well, before we reflect on 100 episodes of
the audience
this podcast,
doesn't mind. Okay. Everybody quiet for the rest of the show.
We will get and talk a little bit about some of the news so far, which the news we've gotten in the past week, I think it's really Chris-centric news, so I got to talk to Chris right away.
Hello there.
Ewan McGregor has said that for 4 years he has known about the Obi-Wan series. He's been committed. He's been no longer in talks. He was actually part of the series, and whether it was going to be a movie or a show, but for 4 years they've known we're going to get 6 episodes of this. How did he hold out on us? I feel like I want to do that spotlight thing where he's like, he knew!
He has been trolling us for the last 5 years. Every talk show that he went on for whatever movie he was doing, they always would ask him about Star Wars, and he would always say, I don't know, I'd be open to doing what. He would just troll whoever was being interviewing by him. But, I mean, Sam, you could speak.
Whoever was being interviewed
I
by
know.
Him.
He's been doing a lot of interviews. Chris also said that he's never felt more betrayed by a human.
It's really hard to look people in the eyes and talk to him. No, he's been trolling us for the last 4 years also with this news. And now knowing that, it's like, Ewan, you're pretty sneaky. But, Sam, you think this is normal, par for the course kind of behavior?
I do think that. I would say, so first off, just, Mike, you posed the question, I think, to the room. You know, how could he do this? How did he do this for 4 years? I think it's easy when you know you're sitting on a paycheck that's coming in four years.
It's like the only thing you have to
that
do.
Is undoubtedly enormous.
Or do you think he was just like, yeah, I knew it. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't mean
like
that
he's BSing?
No, just like it was like the way we all knew it. You know what I mean?
It could be that.
We knew they were going to do an Obi-Wan series, and he's like, yes, me too.
What Chris was referring to, so I've mentioned on the pod that I worked in theater for a long time, and like the comment I made was that even, you know, I was working in the off-Broadway theater space at a
mostly
small...
Mostly nude place, yes?
off-Broadway, you know, it's tricky to get in there, you know?
Is it true you were the stage manager for a jizz band at one point also?
Yeah, this is before Giuliani cleaned up the city.
That reference was a lot simpler 4 years ago, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. He's in the papers a lot, so where my head went immediately.
Actually, I think I'm getting a butt dial from him right now.
Oh, wow. Oh, no.
He tried to call earlier.
But in the theater space, even at like a small off-Broadway theater, we had actors, you know, contracted for plays like probably anywhere from a year to 18 months out. And this is for, you know, a 100-seat house that was, you know. So when you start getting into the like the levels of scheduling and stardom that Ewan McGregor has and a planning, like they've been working on this series since the day they acquired the rights. They knew they wanted to get it right. It doesn't surprise me at all that he's known and been signed for that long.
But you also have to schedule around his next motorcycle trip.
Yeah, correct? Exactly.
I mean, that's all part of it, too.
Disney Plus
exclusive. It's only six episodes, which I get it. It's good to have quality over quantity, but it's like they could film that in a week.
But you prefer you have quantity.
They could film that in a week.
I mean, look, I think all of our hope is that Disney Plus ultimately, like, gives us obviously both, well, but especially quantity.
I hope they give us 3 years of content.
Well, also, it's been... He's been working on getting his sleep doctorate. Have you heard about this?
No.
Ewan McGregor is getting his doctorate in sleep. Now he's Dr. Sleep.
Is this the sequel to The Shining?
It's the sequel to The Shining.
Yeah.
And Ewan McGregor's in it.
Is that coming out in movie theaters, or is that just going direct to online?
It's coming out in movie theaters.
I'm gonna call it here on the pod. A few years ago, we had The McConaissance with Matthew McConaughey kind of having a resurgence when you did...
No, we got it. We understood the term.
Yeah, The McConaissance.
And we're going through a little McGregor-sance, I think.
You want a sance.
You had all that time to...
You had all that time to... Oh, boy.
Again, the ice thing is throwing me off.
I mean, has he really ever disappeared, though? Has he really ever taken a step back?
In our hearts and minds, no.
And we talk all about Paul Rudd not aging. Look, this Ewan man, he doesn't
change. He looks younger.
Him and Paul Rudd should get together.
As an item?
I love that.
Someone should at least just Photoshop their faces together to see what that would look like.
Yes. Like, where would they, connected by the ears?
Yeah. People should do that.
Photoshop their faces next to one another?
Yeah.
I don't have to, my man. Just like look at my wallpaper. Not my computer wallpaper, the wallpaper in my apartment.
You watch that movie, he looks great, and Winnie the Pooh looks like garbage.
I like how you said that movie, like we'd all be like, of course, he's talking about Christopher Robin. The second time that's come up on the podcast, my favorite obscure Star Wars character, Winnie the Pooh.
It's all tied in the Disneyverse.
If you look close during the second Death Star run, you'll see him.
Oh, bother.
Well, we get to look forward to that in episode... three? It's the following episode three. It's in between. Mm-hmm. It's the years. And I believe Ewan McGregor even talked about how he's been dealing with the fall of the Jedi. And
him personally?
Yes.
It was news to him.
It is personal. It's a very personal experience.
He
recently watched episode three.
But it's going to be about, obviously, what we thought. Obi-Wan's going to be in the desert and how he's dealing with how losing Anakin, becoming Vader, and then Order 66. So more of... We talked about wanting this series to be a little bit more, not as action heavy, more about him and how he's dealing with this as a personal.
Yeah, I'm hoping it'll be a little more ruminative,
brooding,
thinky.
More thinky.
Thinky.
Does he have a thoughtful spot like old Winnie the Pooh?
Do you think that there's going to be a scene, maybe the last scene in the series, six episodes, which I called on the last pod, I'm just saying, that there will be, we'll cut to a space diner. And Dax is there. And then his robot waitress comes up and says, "Order 66 up, hon." And he'll go, "Order 66.
Do you think?
Order 66. And then he'll look at the camera and wink. Iris in.
Yeah,
you know, it's really
tough
because when we're doing it not in person, I'm imagining that you guys are laughing so hard that I can't hear you.
I picture that Dex has like a hamburger ready on the counter or a Moof burger, and it's there, and the waitress is like, "What do we got to do? We got to throw this out. We got to close up." And Dex is like, "No, he's going to come. He's going to be here. he'll be here. And then it's just a burger on the counter.
A Moof burger with some Moof cheese.
Yeah.
And Moof milk, because a Jedi uses the whole Moof.
That's right. That's true. Moof ketchup, too. Don't ask.
You actually made me think about a real way the series will end, because they did it already with Rogue One.
Yeah.
Is it just going to be him going over a hill to go down and find the droids and find Luke?
You think it'll bump right up against
I don't know that it, I think it'll be really hard for them to bump it up.
They want a season two so
that,
little.
That was my,
well,
that
you
was
and said
my,
I'd only do one.
That was my dream ending for the prequels. I'm sure I've discussed it, that it would end with Vader's perspective of the door being sawed apart.
Oh, yeah.
But I then we got like that. We got that, though.
We did.
Which is great.
We did.
So
that'd be so funny if
you
went over
the
hill. Yeah, exactly.
If we went over the hill and then you just hear episode 4 in its entirety while you're looking at a hill.
It's like playing background, like diegetic music and stuff. You're like, what the heck? Oh, the music's been in the world the whole
time.
He
makes like the roar sound, crosses the hill, and then we just
Rogue One made that, sorry, Solo made it canon. The Imperial theme is in Solo.
That's funny.
So that's actually in the world.
Yeah.
Where?
When he's being recruited.
When he gets through the other side of the door.
Right before we find out what his name
Right after we've got his name.
It does sound like...
Oh, I thought it was right before.
It's right after he gets his name. He goes through the door. She gets pulled back, and he's upset, and then he hears a commercial.
He gets his name after she's pulled back.
No.
Yeah.
It's the last thing that happens before the title. Yeah. Before
they cut to him in battle.
Before that weird
card
that looks like the intro to an app or something.
That's sorry. Oh, guys.
And it's like, can they see it?
This is why it's the worst.
This is the weakest Star Wars movie that's been made.
No. Let's fire up Solo right now. We can all see how it's way
I'm not watching it again.
It's
boring.
It's
bad.
Join the Empire.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
And it's money for it's a hologram, and it's going bomb, bomb.
It's an Imperial march.
It's weird.
I didn't notice that. That's obnoxious.
The entire movie's obnoxious.
That's a
strong disagree with Sam. For all the listeners out there waiting for Solo 2 and make Solo 2 happen, Sam is not speaking for the whole pod.
Make Solo a solo.
The crowd isn't happy about Solo 2 either.
I want it.
Down, everybody.
Give me it to me. I think, what were we talking about?
Well, this is all a long story to say it's going to be 6 episodes long.
Oh, right. I just watched the original Star Wars. Some know it as episode 4. Some know it as A New Hope. And
you'd never seen it before.
I had never seen it before. Fun fact of the pod, the only one I've ever seen was the Christmas special, the animation from the Christmas special. It's really good.
You know, they actually are now selling a Funko.
Really?
Of the Boba Fett in those colors. I wanted to buy it for you and bring it for you today, Chris. But
I heard that George bought them all up immediately. I threw them into a furnace.
I haven't seen this.
These are going in the trash compactor.
Obi-Wan is pretty frazzled looking when they introduce him. Like, some stuff must have happened on that on Tatooine. Like, he's not looking so great.
It's the idea of him having slipped into senility is not off the table.
No.
I mean,
he is very, foggy, and, he is being clever, but, it takes him a while to, reconnect with the Force. And I think, maybe he's doing what Luke kind of did
in Last Jedi, where
it's like, I have to disconnect myself, otherwise they can find me.
Yeah.
I think
that might be where they get to in the series.
I can't fathom a world in which, in the current climate, I can't fathom a world in which Disney and Disney Plus double down on the notion presented in The Last Jedi that a favorite Jedi character would disconnect and dissociate himself from the Force. That was one of the things that caused a dust up.
Yeah.
You know, that we don't agree with.
But that dust up, I think Disney, as we've talked about before, probably has a better idea of how much that dust up actually matters to people watching in the bottom line. We think all the projections are, and we heard already the ticket sales were incredible for episode 9. So with all of that said,
thanks in no small part to Mike himself.
Look, when this statement comes back for my credit card, I'm going to be calling in some debts.
Well, here's the thing. When a famed Catholic Mother Teresa released a book saying that she, for years, felt the absence of God, she got torn up in the press. Hmm. Could you imagine what they'd do to Obi-Wan?
Also, I think, you might have to, maybe he didn't want to do that, but the fact that they let Luke continue his name of Skywalker
Yeah, I mean, it was some bad planning. Here's what I want.
He's like, great, now I got to get rid of the Force so they can't find me.
But, here's what I want from this.
Yeah.
I want
Let's hope they don't keep tight records.
I want the first episode to be dialogue-less or sans dialogue.
I think the whole thing should be dialogue-less. I think they should give the whole thing to Jendi Tartakovsky.
Ooh, I think that's
interesting, but I think that's too far. Just like you have Ewan McGregor, like get the guy talking, get those pipes of singing.
I think it should be sans dialogue because they're in the desert.
Now you know how it feels.
You look at people in the eyes.
Guys, they got to sell toys, so he's got to talk to somebody.
What, kids don't like sand? Kids don't like sand anymore?
I know one boy.
When I was a kid, they used to send me in the backyard. I played with sand for hours.
Well, I know one boy that
My
hates
first
sand.
Girlfriend was sand.
Uphills both ways.
She was.
I know.
Chris has a move. Chris has an in-person move on the pod, which is to look or make a sound that indicates, like, my turn, like, I've got something to say here, guys, and then is met with three glances and returns a blank, silent stare.
It's a power move. It's a real power move.
I was trying to think of the origin of Sandman from Spider-Man.
Right.
And I was going to say that happened.
Right.
But I couldn't think of it.
My first girlfriend fell into a molecule generator that they were running at night.
Yes,
yeah,
that's
true.
Right. That's
true. It was tragic.
After a tour through wine country.
We had a fundraiser. We sold pizza.
Yep.
It was cool.
Wasn't quick on the draw there. Wow, boys.
So let's move on and
My
talk a
little bit
more. My first
girlfriend was Thomas Hayden. Sure.
if it was LOL, then sure.
Yeah.
That's
yeah,
my first girlfriend
was Lowell from Wings. Mike knows
find
her
me,
because
find me a
you
better
met her
character.
In Nantucket.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lowell.
Welcome to Wings cast.
I've been dreaming of Wings cast.
Do you love the Hackett decades. Brothers?
I do.
Are you a Faye stan?
Do you love Antonio Scarpacci? Because he's gone on to a wonderful career.
I'm a Shalhoub nut.
This is actually...
Are you a Joe and Helen's
Chris,
Shalhoub
I know that this is one of the best series to first last.
Oh, it's amazing.
Which was a common activity at our old apartment, which is...
Oh, it goes full circle.
Yeah.
It goes true full circle.
Yeah. Wait, what am I missing?
The last episode of Wings
goes... So first last...
Oh, full circle.
Now we're actually talking about the last
episode. This is our 100th episode. We get into...
Do you like sitcoms with strangely melancholy piano themes?
Guys, I had a Wings sweatshirt growing up. This is like...
Whoa, loser alert.
My absolute heaven is happening
Wakes is
right
a
now.
Warm blanket, I'll give you that.
Also, nearly impossible to find. Although I have a feeling Mike has the box set. You really Where'd you get a Wings jacket? Do you have an uncle who worked on the crew or something?
No, you can get a Wings
sweatshirt. It was not a jacket.
If I had a Wings jacket,
it
would be
it
a
MC?
Very classic Joe Hackett jacket.
Yeah,
you gotta go
with
the Royal Bomber. If you
store?
Remember the episode where they bought it and they actually fired Faye and they couldn't pay her enough for her salary,
yep.
They bought jackets that they had to return.
Yep.
So it's really important to have the right jacket because it was a very big moment for Faye.
We found our Faye.
And she went to go and work for Roy.
That's old Roy.
And the audience is getting restless. They're talking amongst themselves.
There's a real big moment there.
I would love it.
Sandpiper
Air. Do you think
Air.
I could buy it at the NBC store here in New York City?
Oh, definitely. I think you can, actually.
Really?
Also,
I'm
I would love
that
if the background sound, the people were talking about Wings.
Or sorry, you had the studio audience on record from Wings.
Yeah.
It was that studio audience. That is a little known.
I can't make... Listen, the audience has a mind of its own.
Hey, I lost a wrench in the plane.
I like that helicopter
Chris
pilot.
Impression.
You know, I usually am the
I liked
one.
Alex, the helicopter pilot.
Yeah, she was good. I like to get the show back on track. Not now. Not
no.
now at all.
Let's pivot.
This is wild.
Let's
this
take a hard bank left. This is the
talking
Wings
about
cast.
Talking about Wings and how Rian Johnson referenced that classic shot in the Canto Bight establishing
yeah.
shot from the original Wings.
Do you think Rian Johnson
we're talking
watched
about?
Wings?
What's that?
Do you think Rian Johnson was a Wings fan?
I assume all the Canterbury people were references to LOL.
Yeah.
I want to give a nice tip of my cat to the actor. Is it Tim Daly who played Joe Hackett? 35 years sober. Way to go, Tim.
Wow,
and a tip of my cat for him.
There you
go. I saw it on Twitter the other day because when you're a Wings fan, you follow all the actors on Twitter.
You ain't kidding.
This is wild.
You know
Mike has a private practice
account. I'll tell you what you do.
Mine's sorry, came out with Tim.
Wait,
Tim
which one wanted to, which one wanted sorry, to joke on
I'm
it first?
Sorry, I'm sorry, go for it.
I just said he has a private practice. Okay.
You do 100 episodes. You think you know the droid heads. All of a sudden, this bombshell is dropped. That's amazing.
Here's the thing. It's like you spend a lot of time with people. We've now been doing this 100 episodes. Somewhat, something like two. My first episode was when the Last Jedi trailer came out. And it's true. You think you know something about... You think you know everything about someone. I didn't know that.
You know, there's got to be such a big Wings fan. There's got to be a crossover in the Wings cinematic universe to the Star Wars cinematic universe. Somebody,
yeah, isn't
oh this, sure?
Has Tony Shalhoub been in the background?
Yeah,
of the
isn't
Star
Tony
Wars
Shalhoub
movie?
In the Darth Vader costume?
I think he voiced Jon Favreau voicing. Okay, the that sounds solo about right. Guy.
Someone
I've never
on
seen
Clone
Wings,
Wars.
But I did read
Imagine
all the books.
Roy?
the
hack, this is insane.
The song of Hackets and Jackets.
Hackets
I'm
and
like,
Jackets.
I'm witnessing. So my wife kindly listens to every episode, and I'm already flashing the texts I'm going to be getting during this.
Wow.
Remember 5 minutes ago when you thought we were only going to reference Wings?
Not around me, friends.
We're all in, baby.
Well, let's get back on track. I'll finally take us back to where we're supposed to be. The trailer came out last Monday. We all talked about it in our immediate reaction podcast. I was probably the harshest of the group on it. I will say that I have softened.
It was devastating.
I've softened here, and I actually think it is a phenomenal trailer. The beats. I still don't like the directions, the things that bother me about it. But watching it, I'm like, this is a perfectly executed trailer for a movie. And when we hit that crescendo where we get the theme slightly altered, like we talked about, this time it brought me to tears and the first time it didn't. So I think it's gotten and it's grown on me.
I watched it the next day and cried, which I didn't the first time. So it may have been that it was really late. It came out at like 10 PM. I'm in my 30s. I'm not usually up that late. I'm not usually trying to figure out football and what's going on. You know, and then we're thinking about the pod. I'm a little full from dinner. So the next day I watched it when I was fresh. No one had hurt my feelings yet. And I was ready to go. And I thought it was great.
So what you're saying is I'm not ready for the rest of this pod because my feelings have been broken by this Wings conversation.
Are you... So Broken Wings, the podcast you do about people who don't understand your Wings references. Are you upset? I feel... What hurt you about this? I feel like we really flew. If we're keeping with this, there was a real flight of fancy going on with the Wings cast.
You were really on to Nantucket 121 Papa Papa?
Seriously, though, Alex, the helicopter pilot, what happened to her?
I haven't watched the trailer since last week.
Oh, wow.
I haven't watched it since when we recorded.
Is this like a Last Jedi move?
I was saying, is this what you do?
Is this like a thing you do?
Which one's that?
This is like my Marin. This is my Marin part. What is this, like a thing for you? What?
I like to keep it fresh. I like to maximize the freshness and newness of the experience each time I dive back into Star Wars. Because look, the first six, seen them so much, and I can go back to those like a warm blanket. But the new ones, there's still a little bit of shine on them.
I've taken the opposite approach, I've basically lost my mind.
That's true.
The excitement and anxiety.
As much as I have in my Wings stuff?
Yes. Okay. It is a Wings Mike situation that I'm going through right now. I didn't expect to have this reaction, but it's like set the anxiety of this movie in full force. Like it was the summation of everything. Like the realization that it was like
I
want
to jump in and say I had the expectation that both of you would get to where you're at, anxiety level and insanity level wise.
Yeah.
The one that surprised me, Mike, with this Wing stuff is really.
Yeah.
I mean,
Mike, when he gets stressed, he dives straight into Wings.
He has his life together in ways that none of us do. So to see him like sort of thrown off by the Hackett brothers combo is really
he gets
concerning.
Cranky.
He
turns into into a real Roy.
You mean guy? I dove in. I didn't get thrown off. I dove in.
He dove.
I've now gotten to the point where there are people in the world who know what happens in this movie.
Yeah,
they're throwing it right in our faces by being in it.
It's for me.
And now I just need to figure out I become one of those people.
For me, it's like I need every piece of information. So much so that I've been recutting the trailer, not actually the editing, but I've been taking the file and trying to upscale it to higher resolutions just because I want like a new experience viewing
it. He's also trying to see if he could find the rest of the movie in there.
And I'm maybe hidden on one of the ships is how it ends. No, but part of the reason was also I wanted to see if Lando and Chewie were in the cockpit of the Falcon.
You had to blow it up to 8K to
like
see
in
that?
The earlier.
To like to time date if it's like young Lando and Chewie in the Falcon. Because then that could...
It'd be weird because he looks 90.
There's definitely...
No, but then that would say if it was a flashback or not.
I don't think there's a flashback. There's
not going to be a flashback.
Well, there's only been one flashback.
There's not going to be time travel in this movie.
Or not time travel, but like just a vision or something. Whatever it is. Because,
I think they're going through...
Because the Falcon has the round antenna. So I was thinking
that
that's the same thing. Then maybe it's like a vision of the past.
I do think there's misdirection. And I will say, we talked about this on text... I think that shot is, I'm not going to say fabricated, obviously someone made it, but I think that a lot of the ships in that shot are ships that they had 3D renders of, so they were like, fill up the frame. I don't think that shot's in the movie.
I don't think it is either, but I do think that there's going to be a projection of C-3PO's memories, and people will see it in that scene, but then they'll cut to it for full frame like for
that.
Us.
There may because be something there, that they want to tie everything.
There's been,
they
a,
want to
there's
hit
been
us
a great like motif with 3PO. Where he's like at the beginning of the saga, he said that he's not a good storyteller, and he gets better at storytelling throughout the thing. So like, I think it would be cool if he like told like the ultimate inspiring story.
You think this? And like, you're talking about full VO. You want narration for the first time in Star Wars. You want
somehow,
him to be narrating.
Somehow 3PO has the sound effects of scenes he wasn't even in Jedi.
That's true. So. And like any movie created by people who have been in the industry too long, it'll be a movie about making movies.
In the end, it was No, I mean, it's going to be, it's going to show how it connects to our real world.
Well, it's going to make sure that it tells people that the storytellers, the ones who really matter,
also,
the people who can tell the stories.
Great, right.
And the stories told are really what tell you who should win. And really, that means Palpatine wins.
There you go.
Chris,
I
do want to just jump back. Sorry, guys. Yeah. Lots of good conversation happening. Chris, 8K. Would you please just clarify for our listeners? You said you sort of breezed over. I've been recutting the trailer. I've been trying to upscale the resolution. That sounds, maybe run it through a program or something. Describe the process and also how much time you've dedicated to it, please.
Not a ton of time, maybe a few hours. But I take the trailer, and then there's things you can do in editing software to like clean up the noise and the artifacts and stuff.
Uh-huh.
So is it an image that's smaller and you try to make it larger,
we'll
get more noise and be more distorted.
Uh-huh.
So you can edit in that.
So what resolution did
you... I'd like to speak to you about some pictures on my phone. After
what resolution did you...
of the Lego Falcon?
What resolution did you start with this?
I started with 1080p.
Okay, and you feel that you can realistically get an 8K,
and I've moved to an 8K timeline.
Chris saw 1080. Wait, hold on, this is happening in real time. Mike is pointing at something. What's happening?
There's a woman standing in front of the street, stopping a bus to take a photo.
Oh, okay. Do you think it's a bus?
Oh,
yes.
That's wild.
Oh, wow. Okay, there's a tripod, everybody. In a New York minute, am I right?
I apologize for interrupting you. This was a very odd scene.
Yeah, I know.
So,
the
Chris,
bus is blocking it.
Chris saw...
What does the crowd think?
Oh, she's also vaping at the moment to make sure, and the bus is finding a way around.
We've got a vaping photographer out there. The buses always find a way.
The crowd inexplicably loves vaping. Must be young.
Just like
anyway,
all the New Yorkers.
So Chris saw 1080p, and he thought, no.
He
said,
went to 4K.
That's not enough. What, I got to put my glasses on? So he went up to 4K, double 1080p. Then he went, not big enough. Then he went to 8K.
I went to 8K. My computer can't even play the file.
He's been uploading it to YouTube for a week.
I can't even watch
it. How big was the 8K
file?
It
was a 60 gig. Oh, the 8K was what? It was about 60 gigabytes,
60 gigabytes for 2.5-minute trailer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just so you know, if you buy a movie on iTunes that's 1080p, it's usually 4 gigs.
Yeah, yeah. So Chris turned a trailer. Real movies.
He's also been recutting it. He's hoping if he puts it in the right order, he'll have, you know, that moment of Force Awakens where BB-8 and R2-D2 line up their projections and they see the whole map.
Yeah.
That's what Chris is hoping for with the trailer. If he puts all of their shots in the right order, the whole movie will appear on the timeline.
I was really hoping that you were just recutting it for me and getting rid of Palpatine so that I could enjoy the trailer.
Well, do we know? We don't know that that's Palpatine's hood.
No, but his laugh and his voiceover's in it.
What a misdirect. I had a dream that
that's definitely him. He's in the movie.
Could you imagine what a misdirect that would be, though? No. But what would they be misdirecting us from? What we think will actually maybe happen?
But this was my theory last time that none of this is in the movie. The 60 or 70% of the trailer is not in the movie.
I will say this.
JJ
made the most compelling argument for Palpatine that I've seen yet in an interview where he said, someone said, why did you bring Palpatine back? And he said, I don't know many last chapters of books that don't reference things that came before. Right. And I was like, that is compelling. Okay. That if he is looking at this as not the end of this trilogy, but the end of three trilogies, then maybe Palpatine's not. But Palpatine was present for the first six.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe he's trying to find a way to tie everything together. And maybe they will find the right way to do it. I do trust the creative team. You know, JJ's never made a movie I don't like. Kathleen Kennedy, I think, is a great captain of the ship. Chris Terrio had a roadblock there with the DC movies. I don't really blame them on him. But he's historically been a very good writer. He wrote Argo. I mean, that's not nothing. So I think that if they could find a compelling way... But Lupita Nyong'o being asked on a red carpet how she feels about episode 9, this came out today on Twitter, she said, it's going to be interesting. So
it's the Emilia Clarke of Game of Thrones where they asked her what she thought it was at the end, and she just laughed
people are kind of I don't know, hedging their bets that people won't like it. We'll see.
I mean, I think it's
or she
hard.
Just didn't know what to say.
Maz is in a shot
of
the trailer.
These actors are in the world,
FY.
Too, and they're seeing this. They're seeing a lot of what we're seeing, right? And so they're hearing, controversy blown out of proportion. I said it that way intentionally.
Nice.
I knew Chris would like it. But
Argo will watch that movie.
I was waiting for Chris has a standard joke. That's a modified version for our younger listeners.
Standard joke? You mean saying a line from a movie?
But I guess it's not surprising to me that that someone whose career is about publicity and image and maintaining sort of good relationships with both the people making the movies and the people consuming the movies would maybe hedge that way. The JJ's comment is really interesting. It's the best argument I've heard for including Palpatine, yet. I agree with Ryan. I do think the biggest barrier, my friend at work, Matt, we talk a lot. He listens to the pod. Shout out, Matt. I hope you're listening to this one.
What up, Matt?
But, Matt said to me on numerous occasions that the biggest problem he has with the Disney era and the Disney trilogy is that no matter how successful or bad he feels any of the individual installments are, nothing is going to ever convince him that this came from a singular roadmap or that the story was clear from the outset. And I do think the Palpatine thing exemplifies that better than ever. I think they would have laid the pipe for Palpatine to be in this at Force Awakens if that was what was intended.
We'll find out that either they retroactively played the pipe or...
Right.
But the biggest way to circle back to...
Because the Marvel universe did that very successfully with Mysterio. Go on, sir.
But the biggest way that you go back and circle back on episode 1 is to make it about Anakin. Is to have Anakin. Because it's not really... Palpatine is sort of in the story.
Right.
He's really in it.
And I've said I'd be thrilled if Hayden Christensen was in this movie.
Yeah.
What if Hayden's in the chair? What if that's whose hood we're seeing?
It could be.
Here's the truth.
They tried to burn him to try to kill him, to try to end up after he had died. So he's survived lava before, so why not?
Here's the thing.
When you come back
as
a Force ghost,
that
you're just normal. Also.
I think Anakin is in the movie. I had to put money down, which I won't.
But you mean it'll be a cutaway shot where he's just a Force ghost
waving? I think he's in it. I think he's in it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. That would be,
what about Ahmed
Best?
This
movie's going to be crazy.
Are we going to see Jar Jar? Is Ahmed Best in it?
Yeah.
I think...
Yeah, he is. Say another character.
Old Jar Jar.
Say another character, my man.
Well, we're not to the character segment yet.
I bet they're in it.
I do... It would be amazing if they pulled that off. Like, that would be phenomenal if they have this secret. If there's some secret hidden in this thing.
That's final battle. X-Wing pilot Ben Quadranero. Zipping around.
Is that who your sister went to prom with?
It would be amazing if they had that secret. I wouldn't mind it. I think at this point, it's just like, make this thing as crazy
just
as you
let
can.
Me, just let me be free.
We had the satisfaction of The Last Jedi being a succinct visionary direction for the saga, and like,
just go nuts.
Let's look at it this way.
And now it's like, JJ, have your fun.
Let's look at it this way. Let's say that The Last Jedi was season 4, episode 22 of Felicity.
Yeah.
Episode 9 will be episodes 23 and 24.
Yes.
When they get an amulet and go back in time.
This has happened.
This is real.
I've heard they graduate from college.
And then WB orders 2 more episodes and they get an amulet and go back in time.
I look, also from our text chain earlier this week, it came up, The Last Jedi, perfect place to end the saga. So I think it's all gravy. It's all gravy at this point. Nothing's going to convince me. This is an epilogue. I'm looking at episode 9 as epilogue 9.
Oh.
You heard it here first.
Rebranding.
You know what it says? You know what's actually interesting is if you think of episode 8 as an end to episode 4, it's like if this whole story was episode 4 through 8.
Sure.
That's actually a very perfect circling back around.
Yeah, we got,
That's a story that does work versus, I mean,
Ryan Johnson managed to wrap up all the good ones.
Then you got the
bigger
thing.
You got your biggest thing for your clone fans.
You got the skeleton and this is this.
That's actually, it truly does like, picture it does capture all of my favorites, including and like if you want, you can count, like, you could even count Rogue One in there, maybe, if you wanted to.
It does, I mean,
but not Solo.
It would do a little,
that's the weakest of all the Star Wars films that's ever been made,
but that's okay if that's,
well, it's including them into this where it's saying, like, you know, if they're very much leaning on this idea of story. They say, like, every the story lasts forever in the trailer or whatever, and it's like they're included. They're saying you're a part of it too. You're so lucky that freaking Palpatine is terrorizing your life also. Lucky you.
I think the end of the movie is a bunch of whip pans around to the different characters all together in their actual sagas. Yeah, so you're going to see prequel characters.
And then the original
the ending is like the ending of Super Mario World, where you see every character like during the credits and it names their character.
Yeah.
I heard it's a clip show.
Yeah, exactly.
I heard the whole thing.
They get locked in a freezer at the beginning. They all get locked in a freezer. Do you remember that time we were on the Falcon?
You know, they did that on Wings.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I know they do.
They're hiding in the smuggle little compartments on the Falcon, and so it's just like
they were all hiding in a box to surprise Joe for his birthday.
they're in the smuggling thing of the Falcon. They pick up the laser ball. What's this thing? And then we're gonna. Yeah.
I hope at one point when Palpatine comes back, everybody's in the Resistance army base and they're all like discussing how they're gonna beat him, and then some guy in the background goes, "So you want to kill a Palpatine?
That'll get you the head, the robe, the whole damn thing."
And it's Han Solo.
Any other actual? I mean, do we have any other thoughts?
I appreciate that you call this actual.
I do. So I saw a theory. This is not my own theory. I've been just scouring YouTube forever. And
well,
so,
you also went by frame by frame as you did your 8K.
I've gone through every.
He's gone
frame.
Oh, yeah.
Who
frame
is in the cockpit?
Also,
can you see who's in the cockpit?
I can't. I still can't.
Not
do
even
it.
An 8K.
You know what we're doing?
Not even with
you know what I'm doing?
So in 4K, you thought maybe 2 times the resolution, I'll be able to see who's in the cockpit.
I'm using very advanced noise filtering technology, but
very advanced consumer.
Yeah.
I have a feeling that our listeners will be using some noise canceling technology.
I said the software was advanced, but
hey, let us know if you've listened to 100 episodes. We'd love to know that you've been along for the ride.
That'd be amazing. Yeah, that's great. 3PO. I'm back on this 3PO thing. You know what? I'm coming around on 3. I always like 3PO. He's been my favorite. That's
you
not
say
true.
This
he's
like the whole
your,
world's
he's
turned
been
against
your
this.
Favorite.
That's everyone's not true. Turned against that's 3PO all
but
of a sudden.
His head was on a clone army's one of those Roger droids. He must have like seen some stuff.
Well, it's like if you think about like at the end of Freaky Friday, everyone just like goes on living.
Yeah.
And knowing that body swapping can happen at any moment.
But,
I've
like,
never seen
what if there
Friday,
is another droid army? Because those are just deactivated robots.
Well, they are. The Trade Federation droids are in the background of that shot.
Yeah, so
when,
it's like...
When Babu Frick is working on C-3PO, there's a Trade
Federation droid. Dismantled Trade Federation droids? Yeah. That's interesting.
They're hanging on the wall.
There you go.
Blow it up to 16K. Let's see what's in
Let's
there.
Get that. Let's get that.
Let's really get in the guts.
Chris, can you... Wait, so you don't have a way to play the 8K file you made?
Nah, it's too big.
So, like, we can't watch it?
It'll, like, skip frame by frame. I've got a 5K monitor that we could use, but it doesn't even work on that. Humble brag.
We should see how clear it is, though. Oh, my God. The frames that do play? Oh.
And you know what's funny? I honestly can't ever tell the difference.
It looks like 1080p to him.
Yeah.
I've been watching it on my phone anyway.
Let's get to our most obscure favorite characters.
There it is.
There's a long list of characters, and this has been one of the themes that you can find in Star Wars for the entire history of the fandom.
Yep.
People have been trading different cards, there have been games, there's been so much focus on every individual character.
They've made plot lines
based on
Boba Fett.
Exactly. They have made individual action figures. No matter what it is, they have turned it into a name. They've found a way to give a story to each of them despite the most minuscule amount of screen time.
Sorry, garbage truck is going by. It's picking up this episode.
I hope that truck didn't drive through our fans here in the park. We're not going to get there quick enough.
Are we okay? They're having a great time.
The truck's tickling them.
It's a tickle truck. Usually I think that was creepy, but since we hired the tickle truck.
Brian, to use some old terminology that I heard years ago, and I guess people still use maybe some days, you seem like you're chomping at the bit to get into your obscure character, so let's
sure
let
am.
You chomp.
Well... As you said, Mike, every character has a name. And I don't know if... I'm pretty sure she's been mentioned on the podcast, but if she hasn't been mentioned on the podcast, then she does not exist. Jocasta Nu, the Jedi Archives librarian, my favorite obscure Star Wars character. Man, oh man, does she really give Obi-Wan the business? She makes him look like a fool. She's very staunch in her beliefs. You know everything you need to know about her. I'll tell you what. This is character writing. I don't agree with her ideologies, obviously, but I think in terms of just having a character on for a short amount of time, she gets the job done. You know who she is.
Wait, what does she say? I forget specifically.
If it does not appear in our archives, then that planet system does not exist.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
And then a little kid dunks on her, who was actually my second pick.
Oh, all right.
Was the kid saying, someone erased it from the archive memory.
Also, those young Jedi kids are the most adorable children.
Yeah. My third choice was, Master Anakin, what are we going to do? Do you think he died first or Jocasta Nu?
Jocasta.
She died of natural causes the day before Order 66. She never had to see it.
I also had to confirm my memory, which was
if
right.
It's not
that
your memory... Just not exist.
It's in my phone. So.
Okay.
But Jocasta, famously Oedipus's mother and wife. Do we think
Jocasta?
That has
Jocasta?
Yeah.
Oedipus, like of Oedipus?
Of like Oedipus, yeah, Oedipus, like of the complex.
So what you're saying?
So you're
there's
saying
a side story.
Woman,
the Obi-Wan series is going to be much different than we expected.
So you're saying Jocasta Nu from Star Wars witnessed the fall of the Jedi and married her own son? That's a life.
I think
that's a life.
I think that, look,
Jocasta
nothing...
new husband, my son.
She cost you a lot of money
in the divorce proceedings
from her own son. No, what?
How do you get emancipated and divorced at the same time?
I was just
can
like,
we go back to the wings conversation.
Yeah,
I was thinking about. I was like, you know, we know that George, like, we know that he doesn't name characters or places or people by mistake. So I was like, I'm pretty sure.
Also,
that's
he didn't
the...
name Jocasta Nu.
No.
You think she had a name in the script?
Come on.
So that's
well, anyway,
mine.
I love it. Great poll.
And I'd like to say ahead of time, thank you for letting us be the background characters in your Star Wars.
Hey. I like that.
I'm going to jump in here and take a direction that's going to be a bit of a sad turn. One of the most obscure but most memorable moments in Return of the Jedi is when a sad Ewok is shot down by the stormtroopers.
Ooh.
And I'm not talking about the one who goes down. Thank you, crowd. I'm not talking about the one who loses their life.
I know who you're talking about.
I'm talking about the friend.
I know.
I'm talking about the friend.
What's his name?
His name is Ramba. Ramba crying over Nant.
He's so sad.
Whoa. That sadness and that moment. Oh, it broke me as a child.
When,
that,
he, that, when that he goes was, and I, he says, like, let's go, we're still winning.
Yeah, he's trying to get him up. He's trying to shake him up. And, you know, you watch that at 7 or 8 years old, and you don't really know what death is. And that makes it pretty clear. That makes it, they're not getting up.
Yeah.
And so I have a very... Those two characters are really my... And then the other one, another Ewok, is the little baby Ewok who loves C-3PO's story. Who's so caught up. Yeah. That's another one of my favorite. I really just love Ewoks. I didn't realize
this. I think you're an Ewok fan. I'm an Ewok guy.
When I asked my dad about the farm that Grandma went to, he showed me that scene from last...
But he also just makes such a devastated moment.
Grandma went to a farm?
Yeah, Grandma went to a farm.
Same explanation as the family dog or the gerbil.
They all actually, they said that they all got in a car together. It was a tough week.
Yikes.
But the moan that you hear from...
I know.
It's truly hard. I mean, I knew really, it the second
very,
you said.
It's a very rough one. All right, Chris.
All right.
That's why the Empire has to be stopped.
I'm gonna bring it up.
Because they're back. Again.
I'm going to bring it up to the new... trilogy.
Yukastanu?
And
I know
there's a certain
is.
Character that Rey has a relationship with that I am just fascinated by.
Oh.
That's just Tito.
That's just Tito. That's just Tito.
This is so funny. You love Tito. Because like she's like, he probably just wants you for spare parts. And, like she's like so adept of his personality and his characteristics. Yeah. It's like, what did Tito and Rey, like, what is their beef? Like,
she's like the dude she passes on the way to the subway every day.
The way that Tito just so passively, like, lets BB-8 go and just, like, walks away without saying anything. It's like, what is Tito? What's his deal? What is he riding? Is that part of him?
Yeah.
Like, what is happening?
He clearly, I mean, like, he allows him, he doesn't advocate for himself very well.
No, he's just like,
I'm not supporting what he does.
He's like kind of creepy too. He's like, well, I tried to steal this droid. But yeah.
We joked about the idea of writing some side stories in the 2 years after the end of episode 9 before we see new Star Wars. I think it's a Tito story.
I think a Tito side story with him and Daisy Ridley.
And he has a nice cold glass of Tito's vodka. It's going to be all part of the show.
Who's that? Just Tito.
That's just Tito. That'd be a sitcom. Just Tito. So Tito's one of my faves. But then let's go back to episode 1, Yaddle. And now you're going to ask, who is Yaddle? Mm-hmm. There's a circle of people in the Jedi Council.
They're Jedi.
Yaddle is a...
circle of Jedi.
It's a circle of people in the Jedi
people. One also of the aliens people. Looks an awful lot like Yoda. And I'm like, is that another Yoda? Apparently it is a female. A lady version of a Yoda, which species is unknown.
I was going to ask.
Yeah.
No, Wikipedia doesn't have a species for...
No, there's no... There's
you
no
went species. To Wikipedia?
I didn't, but I just knew that.
So both Yoda and Yaddle are just like
they don't
two
know
of a kind.
They don't know where they come from.
I can't wait for the letters. The letters comported.
I can't wait for all the slash fiction.
So it's are they sisters? Are they brothers? Who knows? But
are they sisters? Are they brothers?
No, I meant brother and sister.
I mean, none of those.
Are they brother? I meant brother and sister.
I mean, yeah.
Are they unaware?
Did he kiss her in the first
sibling,
movie and then wait three movies to learn?
I would like to get some more Yaddle. But those are my two favorite background characters based on today.
Well, I already mentioned, of course, Ben Quadernera, who's you know, classic fave.
Can you say it in the Greg's Proops kind of way, where he says,
"Oh, Ben Quadraneros"?
That's actually pretty good.
Lost the engine there.
I thought that was very
good
Proops.
That's really good.
Too bad, Ben. I don't know what he says. I don't remember the
when him and
the
your
line.
Sister broke up, but, though, it's like you broke up the whole family.
we don't talk to him. He had a really his whole family was so cool. We used to go up to their cabin, but anyway. I also thought about Lor San Tekka.
Wow.
She'll always be a princess to me, or queen, or royalty.
Yeah.
She's always royalty to me.
Yeah.
I love that. Get a
credited
great.
Credited as the vicar for a long time.
Get a great actor in a part like that.
She'll
amazing.
Be
really incredible. But
so is that what you're saying we're going to get from Dominic Monaghan? Because he's of that quality, and he's probably in the movie for three
people
seconds.
Are always like, Peter O'Toole, Max von Sydow, Dominic Monaghan.
The big three.
But I've got to go with my first
thought.
The
three thought. Scotsmen.
My first thought, and I actually had to look up his name, although when I did, I remembered it immediately. It's also in episode 1 pull. Everybody knows it's my favorite prequel.
Captain Panaka.
Ah,
Captain Panaka, yep. Who is, of course, the head of Queen Padme Amidala's security detail. And he pilots her, he doesn't pilot her ship. Oh, that would have been a good pull, too. The pilot from the Nubian cruiser.
That's who I thought you were talking about.
No, I was thinking of the security detail, because I always thought that guy was so cool.
The Nubian?
And he...
Nubian?
And he...
cruiser?
What?
The Nubian cruiser?
The Nubian. Nubian
I don't think
cruiser.
That's right.
Yeah. I know it's not cool, but it's...
Is that really what the term is?
Yeah.
Wow. Hmm. I think it should have been Naboobian.
I think Naboobian would have been. Would
you could
have
just
been
say Naboo, the singular, the Naboo cruiser.
Naboo
Let's
cruiser.
Just say boob.
But so Captain Panaka, he shows up. He is skeptical of the Jedi's. He's one of the few people who will actually like challenge Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan. And looking out for his queen. He's always putting her safety first. And then, without rhyme or reason, with no explanation, gone. Replaced by Captain Typho, how could he possibly, the guy's got one less eye. What's he going to do? He lets the ship get blown up in the next movie. This guy, yeah. And then he's around for the two movies. It's absurd. I think it's travesty.
There's something.
A mistake.
So you're saying that he failed up.
I'm saying that Captain Typho failed up. And
wait,
I'm
is this
that,
the guy, is your guy the guy who says it could mean only one thing, invasion?
No, that's the governor.
Oh, that's
okay.
The governor.
No.
And it's like
he's the guy
the
with the he's the guy with the hat. He's the he has
oh,
in like
right.
the leather
yes.
he's in his guard leathers the whole movie. Even when they go to yeah.
I totally forgot though they replaced him with somebody else.
They
in
replaced
the next two.
Him huh. Inexplicably.
He didn't die.
We're gonna learn something. We're gonna learn something horrible about the actor or something.
Or the character.
Anyway,
maybe they
Captain,
made it a part of canon.
Captain Panaka is my list, not to be confused with the breath spray.
Well, you know what? It doesn't matter because those planets got all blown up anyhow. So
I did hear though, that Panaka was inappropriate with some co-pilots.
Send us your favorite obscure Star Wars character at droidspod@gmail.com, Twitter, droidspod, Facebook, the Droids Podcast, Instagram, droidspod. Let us know, rate and review us on iTunes. I will say it's interesting to have this conversation because back in the 90s, back when this was a VHS and you were growing up with other kids, it felt like you were trying to figure out who Salacious B. Crumb, because no one knew Salacious'
yeah.
name.
Yeah.
No one knew Bib Fortuna.
No.
No right. one knew, I feel like there's a host of other characters yeah. that you could talk to. For whatever reason, I'm blanking on the name of... the Mos Eisley Cantina armless gentleman. Why am I forgetting? Is that that's a?
Oh, you mean like you'll be dead?
Yeah.
I don't like.
I don't know. I don't know his character name either.
Ponda Baba.
Ponda Baba. Is that wait? Ponda Baba is
the buddy.
Is the wolf right?
Or like the hairy bug?
No, Ponda Baba is the butt chin guy.
Cornelius Evazan.
Yeah.
And Ponda Baba.
Yeah, there you go. The two of them.
Yeah.
Like that would have been something that we would have talked about. Is oh, these are my favorite
they
obscure characters.
The Borscht belt
but they're
Cornelius
not
Cornelius and Baba.
They're not obscure anymore. They've been talked about endlessly.
It's
over
an
and
interesting
over
thing that happens in when quote unquote nerd culture becomes mainstream. I tweeted about this a few years ago, but it's like with Batman fans. Sam, I gotcha.
Oh,
Jason Todd used to be the name that was like the gatekeeping name. That it was like you know yep. a thing about Batman,
mm-hmm.
like you know who Jason Todd is. Now that's mainstream. We all have to talk about Jean-Paul Valley.
Oh,
exactly.
Azrael. Yeah,
right.
Okay.
Exactly. Sam didn't even know it.
I got it.
He got it. Wow.
I just took
it. Is it Jean Paul? It's either Jean Paul or Jean Marc Valley is the guy who directed Big Little Lies. Anyway, so Jean Paul Valley. But it's an interesting thing that happens because you're right. It became mainstream, which is great because it means that Star Wars
yeah.
is more accessible to everybody. Yeah. But there also was
yeah.
this specialness to like getting a yeah. Salacious B. Crumb
yeah.
Trading card, and now you know who that guy's
yeah,
name is.
Exactly.
And I specifically remember being at summer camp, and I think I was, at the time, probably one of the older campers, and a younger camper was like, you think you know Star Wars? Tell me the name of Jabba's friend. And I was like,
right.
Salacious Crumb. And they're like, oh. Yeah. Oh.
Well, and they were like, we meant Bib Fortuna.
Well, that, I mean, that was the other thing, too, is like, it was such... a coming of age kind of thing because you would go to the toy store and you as a kid would know all the characters because you would see all the action figures for like they made action figures
yeah.
for the most
oh, yeah,
characters
for everybody.
And it's just like oh you have that knowledge the adults don't have
yeah.
that
yeah.
knowledge so it like made it super
like the
special.
Ithorian from
you might have yeah. all the money dad
yeah.
but I know
now buy me all of these
I know who Nine Nub
is and you always will because this is what I'm learning
yeah.
this is where my brain goes
right
Sam no, you I... haven't gotten your checks from the podcast
oh,
oh boy then, checks in the mail Sam
yeah okay No, I mean, it's similar. I think the Marvel Studios like takeover of cinema has done the same thing with Marvel now. Yeah. I mean, like, people know who Adam Warlock is.
Yeah.
Huh? Like, yeah. You know, that's wild.
I would be amiss if I didn't mention one character.
Okay, so we got one honorable mention Chris has been sitting on.
I've been sitting
on. Definitely going to be good. It's definitely.
The Imperial base is under attack. The Imperial base is, his name, I just found this out right now, is Jobin.
Jobin. One of the fake names from the movie. I love.
I was gonna say it's one of the fake names that Paul Rudd just like comes up with.
Honestly, that makes me kind of sad though, because it just reminds me of, like, so back when my Ben's uncle Jobin was actually the one who had the cabin, and so we used to go up to the lake, and Jobin was, I mean, he was a little bit of a drunk. But he was We used to watch Wings together.
We're assuming that...
You know, Sam, I was waiting to get in another Wings moment, and now I can't get the joke because you just brought it up again. Yeah. So now it's like, all right.
Wow. Wow. It's come full circle.
Mike and I are now enemies.
here's to 100 more, everybody.
That's what 100 episodes will do.
Your rivals, much like Sandpiper Air and...
Aeromass. Roy Biggins Aeromass. You know, he ran for town council.
He was a real boss tweed type.
My joke that I was going to go with is, guys, they're going to say, all right, all Wings report in, like Hackett Brothers.
There you go. You got it in there.
I like it.
Oh, God. Can I tell you my favorite Wings joke?
Oh, boy.
It sounds episode, like what
we haven't said it yet.
It's an episode where Roy is picking his teeth and he goes, pork. And Helen says, pork was the special yesterday. And he says, what's your point?
And I can verify that was actually an episode of Wings.
It was.
That's amazing.
I'm glad that someone else can remember
it. I'm beginning to think that Ryan is more of a Wings fan than he's letting on.
Are you going to say then Mike?
No.
Oh, my God. It's almost like we're having a human crowd reaction to a kung fu battle. Oh, that's problematic.
Oh, boy.
That's not what I was expecting.
Yeah, I think you should screen those
that one out.
Why would the crowd be making sounds like that? Crowd, listen, this is a teaching moment. That was not okay.
The pork...
I do want to say, I didn't vet that sound effect. I do
oh,
feel
no,
bad.
It was definitely
the pork. The pork fact, though, is kind of the gatekeeper for Wings fans.
It is.
It's like, yes, if you didn't know
is.
About...
It's now, I'm tipping my cat over... And there's a real cat we can tip here.
It is.
Yeah, grab, get that cat. I'm going to tip it.
I actually think you'll all be getting a nice text in a thread, and I will post this within some, I guess, on our Twitter account, a shot from the new trailer with the Nantucket Wings airplane in with all the other vessels.
I love it.
I'm going to get that.
I love it.
It'll look just as bad as everything else you've seen photoshopped from the trailer.
I'll upscale it to 8K, don't
Maybe
worry.
We could go to Nantucket with the Droids Pod and record an episode right where they shot Wings at the real airport.
From the terminal, we can do it.
Yeah. I'm sure they shot it on Nantucket, right?
Oh, yeah. It wasn't a soundstage.
In Los Angeles?
No.
It's why there's giant mountains in the background to jump shots.
Congrats again to Tim Daly. That's really impressive.
And I'm sure if he were here, he'd say congrats to the droids on 100 episodes.
I think he would.
Yeah. Hey, guys.
And the voice of Superman. He did the voice of Superman in the animated series.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to tag Tim Daly in the tweet for this episode, and we're going to give him a congratulations.
Connection.
And then we're going to get one back.
He was the star. Tim Daly was the star of the TV show The Fugitive, which was based off of the Harrison Ford movie.
They did a TV show with him? For The Fugitive? I didn't know that.
Yeah, they did.
Mike is shocked that he missed piece of Tim Daly content.
I actually might have been.
He was too busy rewatching Stephen King's Storm of the Century.
I think The Fugitive might have actually been a TV series that got made
it was
in
the
60s. Back into a TV series starring Tim Daly. Starring Tim Daly, which was a Harrison Ford joint, so then he's basically in Star Wars.
The snake has eaten its own tail. Happy 100, boys.
Wow. Boys,
we really did.
It's been 100 episodes. What do you, Sam, real quick, what do you hope for in the next 100 episodes?
I didn't kill my wife.
There you go.
I hope in the next episode to not kill my wife as well.
Mike?
Tony Shalhoub as a Star Wars alien.
There you go. And I hope to be in that Vader costume one day.
You didn't want to ask Ryan?
And it still fits.
I would agree with Sam
that I also hope in 200 episodes that I've not killed my wife.
No.
You know what? In 200 episodes, I'm hoping that We're recording it live from the set of episode 12, baby, which we're directing.
Hey, I love it.
Actually, if you really plot this out timeline-wise, what, we've been doing this podcast for 2 years. Mm-hmm. We got 100 episodes.
Yeah.
2 years from now, there won't even be a new Star Wars movie. Oh.
That's a lot of time to fill.
Depends on how fast Feige works.
Yeah.
I forgot. I read that the other day. Like, I like had forgotten
that he's
that that's like doing in the works, that he's doing a Star Wars movie. We're blessed. We live in an amazing time, because even if you don't like something that Disney has put out under the Star Wars banner, there's another one coming down the pipeline soon enough.
And we haven't even talked about that the early buzz from 30 minutes of footage of The Mandalorian is fantastic. People are, I mean, they're Star Wars fans, they're film critics, but they are very excited.
Yeah, the people they brought in to watch the first new Star Wars TV series early were really excited about it.
Do you think Christian Harloff was there?
I bet he wasn't.
I wouldn't have invited him.
No. Saretta was.
Yeah.
Saretta actually.
I'd invite Saretta.
Well, he also was, I think, complaining about not getting it.
I'd invite the three of you also.
Wow.
And your significant others if I had the extras.
Oh, thanks.
I mean, I actually think if we're talking about 2 years from now, we're probably going to be hosting a panel at Comic-Con for one of these Star Wars shows, right? I mean, we're going to be the ones introducing
it. 2 years from now, I'll probably perish, but you guys can do it in my honor.
But we'll dedicate the episode to Ryan, and we're going to be there because all of you listening are going to review us on iTunes.
That's right.
And you're going to start spreading the word, and we're going to have a whole movement. We're going to have our own resistance.
Yeah. We want to be counting all of the iTunes. All the reviews. Everybody together.
I really didn't think this bit was going to go the whole episode, but
I didn't think we'd be talking about wigs today.
Wow, guys.
Yeah.
What? I just don't want it to end.
I had a great time.
On
anyone
that note,
listening,
Chris doesn't want it to end. And on that note,
that's going to do it for this edition, the 100th edition of the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast. Rate and review us on iTunes. Let us know that you've been doing 100 of these. If you've been tuning in, you're going to get yourself a patch. We are creating a 100-episode patch. There'll also be a little lull in the corner of that patch. So just keep an eye out for it. Send us an email, and we promise to deliver on it. That does it for the Droids You're Looking For, a Star Wars podcast.
What they throw. Andy?
Do lol.
Eddie. Hey, I lost
lol just came
wrench
in
your pod racer.
Lol just came in with a fishing pole, and it's attached to the back of his pants.
Yeah, I went fishing.
He's always like greasing a part or something. He always is cleaning out.
Chris's gesture. Hey, this is not a visual medium.
Hey, yo, Chewbacca. Millennial Falcon.
You boys want to go to medieval times?
You boys want to go to Galaxy's Edge?
Hey!
Do you guys want to hear it? Let's just find the weirdest one.
What is this soundboard?
Human crowd.
Save it.
Reaction stomp Apple single.
Save it. Apple S.
I didn't stop recording. Oh. I figured we might get some more gold right
Western
now.
Western Jamboree. Let's hear that.
Sounds like that scene of Oklahoma in the new Watchmen.
Sure. Thank you, New York.